speaker tonight in the person of Brother James Boutte. Brother Boutte has been with me for a long time. We worked together there at the Highland Heights. He's still there. He's not only a preacher, teacher, a great servant of the Lord, a man of God, a family man, and someone I'm sure you'll enjoy listening to tonight. Brother James Boutte will bring us a topic, Answer the Call. Romans chapter 8, verse 30. Okay, James, let's see what you got.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you, Brother Brooks, for that introduction. And first and foremost, I would like to thank God, thanking God for his mercy and grace, thanking God for this opportunity to proclaim and present to you a message and a word from him. And you should be thanking him, too, tonight, because God has brought us near the end of another day. And we should be thanking him for still being on this side of life, thankful for the blessing of life. Amen. For we know that with each breath of life, we have another opportunity to get it right. And in saying so, my challenge to you is that we should be thanking him every time you breathe. When you inhale, it should be thanks in your nostrils. And when you exhale, it should be you, Jesus. So we should, because our relief is in him, amen. So when you release and exhale, that's relief. So our relief is in Jesus, so we should be thanking him constantly. And our relief is in him and in no other. In John chapter 14, verse 6, he said, "For I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." So we should be thankful for life at all times. And if you're trying to get to heaven, you're going to have to make a choice to follow the path that Jesus set before us. And as I mentioned, I'd like to thank Brother Brooks and Brother Bishop for his prayer and those other brothers and sisters that work behind the scenes to coordinate this wonderful effort. I'm so thankful for their service and thankful for this invitation to spread the good news of the gospel beyond the walls of the Highland Heights Church of Christ, where I sat under Brother Brooks for 15 plus years, and now with the privilege to continue to serve the congregation at Highland Heights with local minister Brother Horace Stroud. And what a magnificent way to use the technology that God has blessed us with to share this good news and fellowship with the brethren across the borderlines and throughout. And if you are not a member of the Church of Christ, it is our prayer and my prayer that you be attentive this evening so that you may ask that question, what must I do to be saved? And it is my prayer that I do my part as an earthen vessel to proclaim and present to you a message and word from God. And I'm reminded of the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 7 when he said, "Oh, wretched man that I am," to let us know that he was human too, although he was an apostle. And I, like Paul and like each of you, we all are fallible and then fallible and needed a Savior to save us from this cruel world and life of sin. And like Paul, who was once known as the chief of sinners, he made a choice to follow Christ, to change his life around, and now he became known as the chief of the apostles, laboring and ministering the teachings and the doctrine of Christ. For we know not everyone, and we're reminded in Matthew 7, verses 21, it says, "Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." He goes on to say that many will say to me in that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works." See, these are good people here that believe. Good people. In verse 23, Jesus said, "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. You never were chosen by me. You never was approved by me." He says, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." And see, what's wrong with this group of people right here?
And see, and if you asking a question about what's wrong with this group of people right here, we ought to be able to find the answer in the scriptures, right? And see, if you turn with me to Matthew chapter 15, verses 8, these people, he's talking about these people right here. He says, "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart." And as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. He says, "But their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines," that's plural, "the commandments of men." And see, brothers and sisters, family and friends, see, your mindset matters. Proverbs 23:7 says, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." See, the real you is not the one who speaks, but the one who thinks. So this people, it was something they didn't know. And we can see here that they were worshiping, but their worship was vain. Why? Because it was the wrong teaching. These were doctrines with a plural, commandments of men. And see, friends, I'm trying to help you tonight. And hopefully I can help you with the lesson. And I will help you in today's lesson. And the lesson title is Answer the Call. This is a statement as well as a question at the same time. And the passage of scripture I will start at this evening may be a familiar one or somewhat of a phrase that you may have heard at some point in time in your life. And if you're human like I'm human, I know many of you have, and all of us have gone through some situations in our life, gone through some life issues, some trials, some tribulations, some travails, some sorrows, right? And if so, I'm sure you have heard this inspiring scripture at some point in your life. Meet me at Romans chapter 8, and it reads in verses 28 through 30. And it starts here, the Apostle Paul is speaking, and he says, "And we know." And see, Paul had just explained some things to them in the preceding verses about prayer. But before we get to that privilege, we will start here first. See, seems like this is one of them statements in this day and time when they say, "When you know, you know." See, Paul is saying here is, "And now we know that all things work together for good." I'm sure you've heard that, right? And usually, that's where the statement stops. But the scripture has more to it. He says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God." See, let us understand what this means and what Paul is saying to us here. See, Paul is saying that no matter what you are going through, no matter what things are happening in your life, all things will work out to them that love God. Now, I'm sure if I ask you this question, if I ask you the question, "Do you love God?" I'm certain that most of you, if not all of you, will say yes. I know I did when I was first asked that question. But let's see what the Bible says about that. John 14:15, Jesus speaks. Jesus is speaking here. He says, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." Not try. Not do your best. He says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And see, if you seeking to please God, see, Jesus is saying here, he says, "Listen to me, obey my teaching." 2 John 1, verse 9 says, "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine," singular, "of Christ, hath not God." So if you don't abide in this teaching of Christ, it's singular, you don't have God. "But he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son." And see, and when you do, you will understand and know that regardless of what's happening in your life, Jesus saying, "You will know that I'm in work in your life no matter what. I got you." But let me make this point clear. This is not a universal statement. Meaning this statement don't, this scripture don't apply to everyone. It's to them. But who are them? Good question. Them can very well include you tonight. Them could very well be include you in the reason that your friend or your family member or your peer or someone who loves you invited you to the call tonight. So just listen to the Apostle Paul here to answer these questions. See, he says that we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. And he goes on to say to them, see them, the ones that love God, those are the ones that will keep his commandments. To them who are the called according to his purpose. See, here's another reference to them again. Who are them? Be them that love God. To them who are the called according to his purpose. So to them, are the ones that love God, that will keep his commandments, that will obey his teaching. Them are called according to his purpose, according to the purpose, or called according to God's plan. See, the them in this text had an invitation, just as I did, and just as you would have at the conclusion of this message. And see, Paul goes on to say that all things work together for good for them that love God, to them who are called according to this, to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow. Now, who he talking about here? He's talking about the them. Now, who is the them? That's a quiz. Okay. Them that love God. Them that are called. See, the ones that are called will have a choice and a decision to make. He is talking about the them that will obey him. And he says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. See, these, the them, will be conformed to the image of his son. And to be conformed to the image of his son, you have to be a child of God the Father. And to be the image of the Son is going to take some humility. It's going to take putting some things off. It's going to take some holiness. It's going to take getting some things right in your life. See, we're not looking for no Oscars. The Lord not looking for no Oscars. The Lord wants your mind. 1 Samuel 16:7 says, God looks at the heart of man. God looks at the think tank, friends. 1 Chronicles 28:9, the Lord searches all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. He knoweth you seeking him. But will you obey his teaching and keep his commandment? And see, the Apostle Paul goes on to say that those he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. See, Jesus is going to be a big brother to somebody tonight, y'all. See, we have an example in Jesus. See, the best example and best role model you can follow is Jesus. You show me one greater, and I'll show you a liar. See, the purpose and the will of God is not that anyone perish. The purpose and the will of God is to save all. 2 Peter 3:9, he's not willing that any should perish, but all will come to repentance. And Paul continues in verse 30, Romans 8:30. He goes on to say, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them, again, he also glorified. So who did he predestinate? It's them. He repeated himself here. Them were called. And whom were called, them he also justified. But what does this mean? We can find this in Romans chapter 3, verse 24, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption, which is in Christ Jesus. We have a redeemer. We can be redeemed by who? Christ Jesus. And you can't say you have a chance at glory until you've been justified. And you may ask, now how do I know where I stand? And how do I get like them that are justified as a gift of grace? Well, I'm glad you asked. See, to get like them that the Apostle Paul is referencing, you must be called. And the call that I'm speaking of ain't the calling that you've probably been hearing about all your life if you're not a member of the church. See, we are all called the same way, but some of you might not answer. And see, that call is not the drunken voice you hear at night in the late night hours. And how do I know? As you ask. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 14, and the Bible reads, whereunto he called you by what? By our gospel. See, this is where the them come from. The them come from this gospel call. So you, this is how you can get like them. You got to hear this gospel call. So what you got to do? See, the them are called by this gospel. And see, now we get into the meat of this gospel call tonight. And see, the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 1:16, he says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. See, the gospel has the power to save. See, the gospel is the power of God to save who? Them. Them that will obey him. And Jesus commanded in Mark 16:15-16, he says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. See, the them that love God would not have a problem with obeying him. And see, Jesus said, he said, James, he said, Brother Boutte, get on the gospel call tonight, Brother Boutte. He said, preach the gospel to every creature listening tonight. He said, because he told us in Matthew 11:15, he says, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. So roll down your windows if you're in your car. Put me on speakerphone so everybody around you need to hear it. He says, go preach the gospel, Brother Boutte. Tell them what I did for them. And I'm glad he told me to, because in 1 Corinthians 15:1 through 4, we can find out what this gospel is that he said to preach to every creature. He says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received. So you got to receive it. And wherein ye stand, you're going to stand on it, by which also you are saved. You are saved by this gospel. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. So what is this gospel? He says, I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. He says, tell them to follow me, Brother Boutte. He says, tell them to look to me. Tell them to answer my gospel call. He says, let them know that I predestined them to the adoption as sons through Jesus Christ. That's Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. He says, tell them that I died for them to have another chance. He says, tell them I paid the price of atonement for them. They looking for peace in all the wrong places. They looking for peace in their finances, their riches, their material things. They looking for peace in all the wrong places. Tell them to look to me. I conquered death. Tell them, Brother Boutte, tell them how they marched me up Calvary's Hill with a cross on my back. Tell them why I did it. Why he did it is because he loved you. He surrendered to the will of God. He obeyed the will of God for you. He said, tell them I died for all of them. But he said, but wait, tell them, they have a choice of who they're going to obey. Romans 6 and 16 says, know ye not to whom ye yield yourself servants to obey. Ye servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether sin unto death or obedience to righteousness. He said, tell them that they put nails in my hands and nails in his feet. They sure did. And he hung for 6 long hours on the tree of the cross that he had to carry up the hill. And they put the nails in him, and they put him on that cross, hung him up there where he died. But it just didn't stop there. It says, John 19, verse 34, it says, a soldier came and he pierced his side. And out came blood and water. And it's going to take both of them, those essential elements, to help you tonight. And then that same blood purchases church, Acts 20 and verses 28. And see, God the Son, see, he died for you. And that same blood that purchases church is the same blood that can wash us from our sins, Revelation 1:5. See, Jesus died for sin. We were dead in sin, living the way that we want to live, separated from God by sin to the point that we can't even pray. You can't even pray for your loved ones when you have sin in your life. It's a terrible condition to be in. You can't pray when you need strength and you need help. And how do we know that? Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2 says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. And again in John 9:31, now we know that God here is not a sinner. But if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he hears. Jesus gave us a way out of the bondage of sin. Romans 6:3 says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ was baptized into his death? See, Jesus died for sin. We are dead in sin and trespasses against him, your iniquities. And he says, so therefore we are buried with him into death. He died for sin, we are dead in sin. And he was buried in the tomb, we are buried with him in baptism into his death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead, there go his resurrection. By the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. We're going to rise and walk in newness of life just like Christ did. He had a death, burial, and a resurrection. You got to mimic the same thing. And when you ask how do you get like them that Paul is referring to, you have to answer that call. And you might say, well, I ain't got no phone. Well, listen to Jesus. Like the teenagers say, or the homies. He going to put it in your face. In Revelation 3, verse 20, he says, behold, I'll stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him. And do what? Sup with him. And he with me. Jesus said, if you ain't got no phone, I'll knock at your door. See, Jesus going to provide. In 2 Peter 1:10, he said, make your calling and election sure. He going to do his part. He already did it. And see, you have an opportunity tonight to answer the gospel call. The choice is yours. But how do you do that? You got to get your mind right. Remember I said mindset matters. But how? Colossians 3:2, he says, set your affection on things above. But wait a minute, what's above? John 12:32, Jesus said, and if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. And then in Colossians, when he says, set your affection on things above, it's setting it on Jesus. It's not on things on the earth. See, Jesus is lifted up from the earth. He's not here, so we got to be looking up to him. That's where our help come from. Right, Brother Curvey? That's where our help come from, above. Don't look down, you look up. And see, because in verse 3, he says, for ye are dead. See, we were dead before we were called and was obedient to this call. For ye are dead, and your life is here with Christ and God. So when we make that conversion in our life, we don't do the things that we used to do. Our life is now hid in Christ in God, and when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, we should also appear with him in glory. There's the glory. And so will you answer his call today? Are you tired of living the life that you're living? God already paid it for you. God sent his son. Psalms 111:9 said he sent redemption unto his people. Holy and reverent is his name. Are you going to answer the call? Are you going to answer the call to be a Christian today? John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loved you enough to send his only son to die for you. His son loved you enough to surrender obedience to that will of God, to be put to death for your sake. And you got to hear that love story. And then, because Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing. So you have to listen. And hearing by the word of God. Will you answer that call? You got to hear. Romans 10:17. Then you must believe. Hebrews 11:6, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. You must believe. And then you have to repent. I'm tired of walking the life or living the lifestyle that I'm living, disobedience to the will of God, doing everything under the sun. You have to want to change and want to get like them. You got to accept the calling. You got to know that you've been walking the wrong way and turn from your ways. Repent. Luke 13:3 says, I tell you nay, except you repent, you will all likewise perish. And then you got to confess. Matthew 10:32, he says, but whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him I confess before my Father. And that confession that we make, we find the example in Acts 8:37 when the eunuch said that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's the confession that you have to make. And then after you make that confession, you have to be baptized. Acts 2:38, Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. See, these right here are the ones in Revelation 7:14 that wash their robes white in the blood of the Lamb. And then after that, you are baptized. Acts 2:47, then you are added to the church by your obedience. Ephesians 1:22-23, it says he gave him to be the head of over all things to the church, which is his body. Jesus only had one body. The blood came from his body. Whose body? Christ's body. That's his church. And Romans 16:16 says, salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. That's what a saved are. And if you want to get like them, see, the them won't argue with what I just said. The them will render obedience to the will of God. And you on this call tonight, and you're not a member of the Church of Christ, and you're subject to the Savior's invitation, and you would like to respond to the Savior's invitation, just get back with the person that invited you to the call. Or get in touch with Brother Tommy Brooks, the evangelist and host with the Highland Heights Church of Christ. Thank you all for your attention on tonight. I pray you all have a blessed night tonight. Yours truly, Brother James Boutte. Will you answer the call? The lesson is yours. Amen.